I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Wichita School Board approves bond issue vote. We have the story.
Trump and Harris debate tonight in Philadelphia. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
The Wichita Board of Education is asking voters to approve a $450 million bond issue to help pay for the district's facilities master plan, which calls for closing schools and building new ones. At last night's meeting, the board voted 6-1 in favor of the bond issue. If voters approve the bond, it will be one of three in the past 50 years, with the most recent one in 2008. At the end of last year, the district closed six elementary and middle schools, in part because of a massive budget shortfall.
At today's meeting, the Wichita City Council will share an update on a proposed parking plan for the city. Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News the council will hear a report card on progress.
Last month, we halted all of the purchasing of equipment so that we could get better feedback from the community. And since then, there have been multiple town hall meetings, special presentations to groups around downtown.
Wu commented during Mondays with the Mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning show on KNSS.
The first debate between Vice President Harris and former President Trump will be hosted by ABC tonight, with much speculation on how the event will play out. Fox's Kevin Cork.
For the rules, similar to the first debate, muted mics, no live studio, only pen, paper, and water on stage, no pre-written notes, answers 2 minutes, rebuttals 2, follow-ups just 1. As for the tactics, well, the vice president is expected to utilize prosecutorial skills. As for the former president, he plans to go after the Harris flip-flops. He'll very likely try to tie her to Joe Biden's policies. And while the VP has spent days in debate prep, the former president has done more town halls and public availabilities to sharpen his skills.
KNSS presents live coverage of the debate at 8 p.m. Central Time.
Tens of thousands of people are dispersed by fast-moving wildfires in California and Nevada.
The Davis Fire, south of Reno, ripping through over 5,000 acres, forcing more than 20,000 to evacuate.
If you're under an evacuation notice, we ask that you please heed that.
Truckee Meadows Fire Protection Chief Charles Moore urging folks to be patient.
This fire is far from being out. It is still burning in heavy timber.
Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo declaring an emergency for the blaze, which is 0% contained. California Governor Gavin Newsom declaring an emergency over the Line Fire east of Los Angeles, which has also forced thousands to evacuate, burning through nearly 24,000 acres amid days of triple-digit heat. That blaze is 3% contained. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
A Colorado man has been found dead at Grand Canyon National Park. And he's not the first person to die there this year.
The National Park Service says it's the seventh fatality there in the past month. The 59-year-old man was on the 10th day of a river trip along the Colorado River. The medical examiner's office will determine the cause of death. Patrick Horton is the 14th person to die in the park this year. 11 people died in the famed park in all of last year. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:03, 3 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Could the Kansas City Royals extend their winning streak in Yankee Stadium last night? We'll take a look at that coming up in sports.
Former local football star is on trial. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News. The KNSS Morning News, 8:08, now 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. Jury selection began in Sedgwick County District Court Monday in a case against former Dallas Cowboy Joseph Randall. He was charged with rape and kidnapping in an incident in 2018. Randall has had multiple competency evaluations since his arrest. including previously being sent to an NFL inpatient treatment center and the Larned State Hospital. Testimony is expected to begin today.
A new report by the FBI says Americans lost big money last year thanks to a certain type of scam.
The FBI says Americans were duped out of more than $5.5 billion last year through fraud schemes involving cryptocurrency. The agency received almost 70,000 complaints in 2023 by victims of financial fraud involving Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Investment fraud accounted for almost $4 billion of the losses. FBI officials say Americans of all ages can be a target of scams and should be extremely cautious when presented with investment opportunities from people they've never met in real life. John Saucier, Fox News.
Parents in Texas have new tools to help limit their teen social media use, but some tools also have restrictions.
Under a Texas law that took effect this month, social media platforms are required to create tools giving parents more control, aimed at limiting exposure to potentially harmful material, including content promoting self-harm or substance abuse. Meta says parents who can prove their identity will now be able to update their teen's account settings, set limits on usage, even delete an Instagram or Facebook account. But another part of the law requiring service providers to filter out harmful content was blocked by a federal district judge, calling it unconstitutionally vague. And a proposal to ban minors from creating social media accounts without parental consent didn't pass the state Senate. The new law also bans the disclosure of minors' data and targeted ads. Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's not clear yet how the Texas Attorney General plans to enforce the new law, which includes civil penalties of up to $10,000 per violation.
New Jersey's newest United States senator, now officially in office.
George Helmy was escorted onto the floor of the Senate by his former boss, New Jersey's senior Senator Cory Booker, to be administered the oath by the chamber's president pro tem, Senator Patty Murray.
Of the office on which you are about to enter, so help you God.
I do. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations.
New Jersey's Democratic Governor Phil Murphy appointed now Senator Helmy to succeed Bob Menendez, who resigned after his conviction on corruption charges. Senator Helmy will only fill the seat through the end of this Congress in early January. In Newark, New Jersey, Gernal Scott, Fox News.
KNSS News Time, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Up there in traffic right now, we have a traffic accident. This is southbound I-135 ramp from Hydraulic. Watch for a slowdown in that area. Still, the biggest problems we're having in traffic at the moment. Eastbound on Kellogg, right around Meridian. And then southbound on I-135, approaching K-96 up at the North Junction. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. Traffic is brought to you by Joe DeBrava and Carl's Goodyear Tire. Two locations, downtown at Market and Waterman at 47th Street South and Broadway in the former Kmart. You can see it all at carlstire.com. Carl's Goodyear is your home for complete car care.
And now the forecast with meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
More sunshine ahead for you Tuesday. Pretty nice day ahead after a cool start, warm afternoon. This is just the pattern that we're going to be in over the coming days and throughout much of the rest of the week. So under those mostly sunny skies, high of 88 degrees with a south breeze picking back up to 10 to 20. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Now partly cloudy, south wind at 5 miles per hour, 53 degrees. Hatman Jack's new fall line of hats has arrived. See why people from around the nation make Hatman Jack's their destination. Open Tuesday through Saturday at the Clock Tower in Delano. For the largest selection of Western hats, fedoras, and caps, see the experts at Hatman Jack's. 8:12, Stephen's Den in the morning here on KNSS. And this is the, what did I say, the 10th day of September. It's a birthday day today, Ted, for Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly.
Political commentator, Bill O'Reilly.
No spin zone.
75 years old today.
75.
A commentator, journalist, author, and television host. Bill O'Reilly.
And then he got it into
75.
And a lot of people started accusing him of things, and he lost his TV show.
Yeah.
And
he seems to be doing all right.
He seems to be doing all right.
I see his books in the Barnes & Noble all the time.
Oh, yeah. A lot of books.
He's been writing books.
Mm-hmm.
8:12 now, Stephen 10 in the morning here on KNSS. And if you will excuse me one moment here, Oh, I know what we were going to talk about. We've got Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers with us this morning. Good morning, Tanya.
Hey, good morning.
I understand that there's some people are thinking that youth football may be too dangerous. Tell us what's going on here.
Well, there have already been football-related deaths of 7 middle and high school students in August alone here in the U.S., which has gotten a lot of attention, obviously. They ranged in age from 13 to 16 and came from several different states. West Virginia, two from Alabama, one from Virginia, one from Florida, Maryland, and Kansas. And this was, you know, anytime you've got stories like this, it definitely tends to get people's attention. And it seems like, you know, we're hearing more and more about these kinds of things each start of each school year. You know, there's unfortunately something like this that we hear about, the death of a football player who either, you know, had a heat stroke or a head injury or whatever. And by the way, the circumstances of the death of these 7 kids range from heat stroke to chest pains to head injuries. The father of one of the kids who died, he was 13, Cohen Craddock of West Virginia. His dad spoke to our digital news team and, you know, kind of explained what happened. He said that Cohen was in his second year of football. He was at practice on August 23rd, not a game, just a normal practice. He said another boy was making a block. He said Cohen got tripped up and he hit the ground. His dad said when he hit the ground, his head hit the ground, and that's what caused the head injury that ultimately led to his death. This was just during a practice. You know, this is, you know, like I said, one of those things that, you know, we keep hearing about, unfortunately. I was looking into this after I got this assignment, and I was interested to find out that all 50 states have some form of laws aimed at preventing sports-related concussions. Heat stroke-related laws are not as common. There are some states who do have laws to prevent heat stroke, you know, injuries like this related to sports. Florida, Texas, California, New Jersey, and North Carolina. But those are apparently the only ones. When you kind of look at the big picture of these stats, like I said, this was 7 middle and high school students who died of sports-related injuries in August of this year, just in August. The National Center for Catastrophic Sport Injury Research said that there were 16 total football-related deaths in all of 2023. 9 of those 16 were in middle or high school. That was for the whole year last year. Again, 9 too many, obviously. But that, to give you some context as to, you know, the 7 that were in August alone of this year, that speaks volumes.
You look at it though, as a youngster, I've been in the helmet and I know what it's about. But as a youngster though, you don't want the coach to say you're wimping out. You don't want to complain, but you know, some of these kids probably may have survived and said, hey, I don't feel well, something like that. But yeah, and it's interesting because you give a wide variety of reasons for these deaths, not just the heat stroke. That's the one I would think would be the worst, and not get enough water and so forth. But that's interesting. It goes all the way to the one you just described, even with a helmet on, the way you hit your head on a pretty hard field, I guess. It can be very, well, it's traumatic for that young man.
Right. I mean, a helmet will only protect you so far.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still, you know, there's still a lot of trauma there that goes when you are, especially during, like, you know, contact football and stuff like that. I mean, there's been a lot of research that's been done on that. But like you said, the heat stroke part, that seems like the thing that I think we've heard more about, especially when school starts with those hot temperatures and, you know, July practices and August at the beginning of school. I mean, it's hot, it's humid.
Yeah.
You know, it can be dangerous.
All right. Well, thank you for your time and for your information this morning. Appreciate it, Tanya. That's Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers. I don't have much to say about that, except that I have experience with concussions and so forth. Chad, what you got, Chief?
Got a traffic update real quick.
Go ahead.
Westbound Kellogg ramp to Seneca. We got a crash there.
All right.
So the traffic volumes are thinning a bit, but watch for something there. Again, that's westbound Kellogg's ramp to Seneca.
8:17 now, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Let's take a look at sports now with Ted Woodward. Ted.
Let's start out with Monday Night Football last night, the opening Monday Night Football game of the season out in Santa Clara. The San Francisco 49ers hosting the New York Jets. And we take a look at a guy getting his first NFL start. In the starting lineup, offensive right guard for the 49ers, Dominic Pooney, a rookie from KU, third-round draft pick, starting on the offensive line for the 49ers on Monday Night Football in his first ever professional game. How about that? You heard the game last night on 97.5 and 1240 KFH, and Pooney was part of an offensive line that was getting the Niners where they needed to be.
Second down goal. Gets the snap. Handoff. Mason over the right tackle. Touchdown. Broken tackle at the goal line. And caroms off that body in for a five-yard San Francisco touchdown run. And the Niners build their lead on a long drive, the first one of the second half. 22-7, the Niners.
That was a great cut right there by Mason. Starting out to the left-hand side, sees the crease, cut back to the right, almost goes untouched into the end zone. Young man's playing some really good football and getting a little bit of help up front.
Yeah, those guys up front. Dominic Pooney, the rookie from KU, played all 72 snaps on offense in his first game ever in the National Football League. How about that? Niners win it 32-19 on Monday Night Football last night. Let's go to baseball. It's the final six games of the season for the Wichita Wind Surge. Six-game home week against the Tulsa Drillers. And it starts tonight, 7:05 tonight downtown at Riverfront Stadium for the Surge. The Kansas City Royals had a four-game winning streak going into last night, beginning a week on the road. First stop, Yankee Stadium, to play the top team in the league, the New York Yankees. Royals had a 4-3 lead at the seventh-inning stretch. Bullpen blew it. The Royals were outscored 7-0 in the final two innings, lose 10-4 to the Yankees, as the Royals have now lost six straight road games. Good news, though, the Royals still have a 5.5-game lead for a playoff spot with 17 games to go in the season. The Royals are in Yankee Stadium again tonight with All-Star 15-game winner Seth Lugo starting for the Royals tonight on the mound at 6 o'clock. Listen to that game on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Of course, yesterday, the passing of actor James Earl Jones at the age of 93. What better way in sports to revisit his great baseball speech from Field of Dreams?
They come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course, we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it. For it is money they have and peace they like. And they'll walk out to the bleachers, sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game. And it'll be as if they'd dipped themselves in magic waters. The memories will be so thick, they'll have to brush them away from their faces.
Ray, when the bank opens in the morning, they'll foreclose.
People will come, Ray. The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard. Rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good and it could be again.
James Earl Jones from Field of Dreams. What a great scene that is. He passed away yesterday at the age of 93, and we'll have more on that coming up in the blur in just a few minutes. Good. That's sports with Steve and Ted.
It's 8:22 now, Steve and Ted in the morning. Hannity Morning Minute coming up. And Sean's going to be talking about, let's see here, what he's going to take a look at Vice President Harris and several issues. That's on the way with Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Steve and Tad on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh. Ted Woodward, 8:30 here on a Tuesday morning, 53 degrees. Officials in New Orleans share an update on preparations ahead of tropical weather.
New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell says the storm is expected to make landfall Wednesday evening as a hurricane, advising residents and visitors to shelter in place and prepare for
heavy rain, wind, and isolated tornadoes, potentially.
Officials expecting 4 to 6 inches of rain, minor to moderate coastal flooding, and winds between 39 to 50 miles per hour through Thursday. Director of the city's Department of Public Works, Rick Hathaway.
We have crews working today cleaning catch basins and drain pipe across the city.
Noting crews are preparing for debris removal and will be offering sandbags. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Three 18-year-old suspects made their first appearance in court Monday in connection to a shooting in Old Town last week.
Jaden Garcia, Kion Riddick, and James Spivey are each charged with criminal discharge of a firearm into an occupied vehicle with great bodily harm. Garcia also faces a charge of criminal possession of a weapon. Just before midnight on September 1st, a shooting took place at a parking garage near 3rd and Meade in Old Town. The victim left the scene and went to a nearby Quick Trip. There, officers located a 20-year-old man with a single graze wound. He was taken to a local hospital where he was treated and released. Bond has been set at $250,000 for all three men who are due back in court on September 23rd. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
The Ulysses School District in southwest Kansas is investigating allegations of misconduct that includes hazing and assaults involving high school students. School officials confirmed that there is an ongoing investigation of possible misconduct. The police chief says they have collected evidence and are also involved in an active investigation of USD 214. However, police say no reports have been made of any sexually motivated crimes in the district. Police in Buckeye, Arizona are investigating a case involving a 3-year-old who was left behind in a hot car and died.
Police saying they received the call of a little girl found unresponsive in a car. CPR was performed, an AED was used, and then she was taken to the hospital where she was sadly pronounced dead. Now, police say there were several people inside the vehicle when the family returned home from an afternoon at a nearby park. Family members told police they thought everyone had gotten out of the car, and then at least 2 hours later, they realized that little girl was unaccounted for. That's when she was found inside the car in the driveway. It's unclear at this time if the little girl was restrained at all by a car seat or exactly how many people were in the car with her when they returned to the home. Police say there is no one in custody in connection with this incident in Buckeye. Nicole Christine, Fox News.
A bridge collapsed and a bus was swept away by flooding in Vietnam, raising the death toll there to at least 64 from a typhoon and subsequent heavy rains. State media says 9 people died Saturday, after Typhoon Yagi made landfall in Vietnam before weakening into a tropical depression. The rest died in floods and landslides that followed Sunday and Monday. A bus carrying 20 people was swept into a flooded stream by a landslide Monday morning. Yes. Steve at 10 in the morning, KNSS. Three big things.
Three.
Wichita School Board approves $450 million bond issue vote to pay for the district's facilities master plan.
Two.
Tropical storm Francine headed toward New Orleans, predicted to gain to hurricane strength.
One.
Harris and Trump debate tonight in Philadelphia on KNSS at 8 p.m. Three big things. Steve and Ted on KNSS.
We have a traffic accident. You'll want to watch for a slowdown. Southbound I-135, the ramp from Hydraulic, that's where this traffic accident is. Luckily, though, the traffic volumes, you can see this on those Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras, traffic volumes are thinning quite a bit at this time. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Chad Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 88 degrees. Clear tonight, the overnight low 58. Then on Wednesday, sunny again. Tomorrow's high, 88 degrees. Now partly cloudy. South wind at 5 miles per hour and 53 degrees. Steve at 10 in the morning. And the Dow closed up 484 points yesterday. Trading underway today, the Dow is down by 65, giving back some of that gain. The S&P is up 16, and the NASDAQ is trading up 62 points.
And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. After expanding at a rapid pace in recent years, Aegis Group is getting ready to launch a Wichita headquarters that can accommodate even more growth. By the 1st of October, the company, a management consulting and insurance brokerage firm, was founded in 2016, plans to move to the former Plumbers and Pipefitters Local Union Building. That's at 1330 East 1st. It's on the eastern edge of the city's core. Aegis is moving less than two blocks southeast of its current home. That's at Ohio and 2nd Street.
Ascension Via Christi continues to upgrade the emergency departments in its Wichita Hospital footprint. The organization announced it is starting construction on an expansion and redesign of the emergency waiting room at its St. Francis Hospital on the northern edge of downtown. With the targeted completion of early 2025, the project will more than double the size of the waiting room area to nearly 2,200 square feet and boost seating capacity by over 50%. Ascension Via Christi said the effort will improve the space's functionality for the hospital's emergency care team. As Ascension Via Christi's spokesperson confirmed, the project cost is approximately $1.2 million. EB Construction is the general contractor, and Alloy Architecture is the architect. And that's local business news this morning from the Wichita Business Journal with Steve and Ted in the morning. So, interesting day for news, Ted. The Wichita Board of Education voting to call for a public vote on a bond issue, $450 million. And we did some checking. Jed did on the bond issue in 2008, and the final tally was 51% to 48. So it was pretty close.
That doesn't add up to 100.
I don't know. That's what he told me. Jed's the one who does the math, not me.
I didn't do the math. That was straight from the county website.
What they said. Apparently, somebody voted twice.
Where'd that 1% go?
I don't know. But anyway, but that happened. We want to thank again and recognize our good friends at Starkey for having you and I out there yesterday afternoon to award the trophies and the prizes for their 41st annual Starkey Golf Tournament.
Big-time annual Wichita event.
And Jamie Reed asked us out again this year. We've done it now. She said we've done it 17 years in a row. We've been
very honored to do that.
To see those folks, and it was a great day for golf, and they raised some money for a terrific organization, mm-hmm. Starkey.
Certainly so.
They do great work here in Wichita, and we're happy and proud to be there. So thanks for having us out. Coming up on KNSS this morning, the Glenn Beck program, and they will be previewing tonight's debate, as so many will. We have news at the top of the hour, and we'll have an update on that Wichita School Board story approving the bond issue vote. If you missed any of today's show or just want to watch, listen again, go on the Odyssey app. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Glenn Beck, the Dana Lash Show, and news updates all day with Steve and Ted on 98.7 at 1330 KNSS Wichita.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.